We should be Muma, by Kamsa, our Chacham descent, Iglatilta, the finest of a Korban, to the Emperor of Roman Emperor. And Bar Kamsa, while was taking that korban, Shadi by Muma, he put a blemish in it. Amrila, some people they say, Benil Shavasain, he put an upper lips. And Amrila, and some people they said, the moon that he placed, the blemish that he placed, was Bedukin Shebang, was inside the eye. Duchta, Shalididan have a Muma, Ligdayullah have a Muma, a place that for us is a blemish, is Genai. It's a shame. But for them, for Musulam, for nations of the world, it's not a Genai, it's not a Mum, it's not blemish. Lips and eye, what comes out of a person's mouth, what a person sees, if it's not appropriate, for us it's a shame. For us it's a Genai. For us Jews, it's a blemish. But Litayu, but for them, it's not a Mum. For them, it's not blemish. Unfortunately, we live in a galus. We live in galus and we learn from our surrounding. And sometimes we think that the goyish malach, the lifestyle, that's the right one, with all its glory. And we are not able to see such a big blemish for us, such a Ghanaian shame for us. Adam is karov l'asmo. Sometimes we cannot see our own blemish. Sometimes we need someone who's slightly further. He's a shochen tov, he's a good neighbor, not too far. That has more objectivity to look and to see what is the blemish is. How can we separate ourselves from the ways of Musulam, the nations of the world? It's my honor to introduce Rabbi Pansky, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Gedula, Washington. Unfortunately, Washington still is a part of Maryland. Right? So it's still shochen karov. And he has objectivity to see what blemish there could be by us. How can we separate ourselves from the ways of Muslim nations of the world? Rabbi Lipinski, please.
I'm certainly not worthy of saying Musaf el Tzibur, and certainly the first pasuk that comes to mind, seeing that Tzibur is Kula, Yafak Rayasi, Mumein Boch. Baruch Hashem, we're not looking for mumin. I don't find mumin, and I'm not the person to speak about chesronos. And the Rosh Ha'eda, the Eini Ha'eda, asked me to be mishtatif, and his oiris and chizuk is definitely good. One doesn't need his oiris and chizuk only blemishes a mumin, but simply to climb higher, to move a step forward. And I'd like to address the Nakuda that the Nakuda itself, I was told by the Eini Ha'eda that that's an appropriate Nakuda, and I'd like to look at it from a certain perspective. I want to start with a personal video, I guess. 39 years ago, I was offered to come to the Meir Yeshiva, and this is my 40th year since I'd come to the Yeshiva. It says, we learned the parasha last week, that a person is not omid al das rabo ad argoyim shama. And I very vividly remember a scene in my very early tkuf in the yeshiva where Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was saying shmuzen. The shmuzen were world renowned, they'd become a staple. But in a certain sense, echoing what Reb Goldfass said, when you're very close, you sometimes don't even see the godless and you miss it. And Reb Chaim said a shmuz on an inyan, and two bachurim behind me sort of birched, and they said, why doesn't Reb Chaim speak about something that's important, like coming on time, coming to davening, which was not very popular at the time in yeshiva, coming on time for Seder, and so on. Why not shmuz about nechbadus, who, what, when, where? And I remember hearing them saying it, and it sort of rang true as a little boy, as I was literally a very, very young boy. And now, 40 years later, when I'm oimer on mikzas, the mikzas das ravo, the things that I will be saying today are coming largely, many of the points from that shmuz, certainly from the theme that he said. And Baruch Hashem, I was offered to 40 years afterwards to begin to be oimer on it. And I realized that Reb Chaim was speaking not what's going to get the Seder next morning, but was speaking something that's going to be relevant for a lifetime. And those are the thoughts I'd like to share a bit. when we ask ourselves, Rav Hafa spoke so powerfully about the chayma and the shmiras around the person. What is the fundamental shmira that keeps a person from doing wrong? So let's take an example from a case that we need to trust two strangers. Adam come along. Two people come along and are testifying that somebody is guilty of a capital crime and you have to kill him. Somebody owes a lot of money. Somebody's chayv malchus and so on. And we need to ascertain, we need to pick tchunis that will guide us to see whether these two people are trustworthy or not trustworthy. So Chazal give us a getter, and I'll read from the Rambam. It's the Gemara, it's just a little more compact. V'chein ha-bezuyin psulun le'edus medivrehem. People that are kind of, they're bezuyin. They don't really present themselves well. Heim anoshim shaholchim volchim b'shuk b'fnei kolom. People that sit and munch on food, you know, outside. U'kogon elu shaholchim arumim b'shuk. They walk around naked when the job demands, it's a very dirty job. He obviously doesn't mean stark naked, because then a person is meshuggah and he wouldn't be a chazadeh. He means very highly inappropriately dressed. So the Rambam says, and again, it's the Gemara, it's not the Rambam, just the Rambam puts it down, that a person who's ochel b'shuk is pasul edus because he falls under the category b'zuyin. So Reb Volbe writes, and he makes a point here that's very, very incisive. If we ask ourselves, what's the main reason we don't do things that are wrong? The answer is busha. When people think, I'll get caught, it's not the getting caught and having a jail sentence, etc., etc., it's getting caught. The sense of busha is what keeps, that is the barrier, that's the natural psychological barrier in a person between him and chet. A person, not every person has the same sense of busha. What determines what a person's sense of busha, how sensitive his sense of busha is? What's the gauge for it? And the answer is, a person who is a nichbad, a person who sees himself as important and as chashuv, has a very high sensitivity to busha. It's a halacha. Hakol lefi ha-mevayesh ma-mevayesh. In a doma, if you mevayesh somebody who's a drunk rolling the street and you spit at him, or somebody who's a nichbad. The person's own nichbadus will determine whether or not he is going to be have a strong sense of busha, or his busha will be almost dead by him and very dull. So when you want to look at Adis, and we don't have a choice, we can't run through a whole series of things. Does he daven a minyan every morning? Did he learn? The primary test is, besides things like kirv and so on, is the level of the person's nichbadus. If he's a nichbad, Revolva says, then the person has a high sensitivity and he's afraid. I'm going to say a lie, and somebody's going to come along and he's going to slug me up. How does it look? A big chash of the Rav, sitting down, yeah, I saw this this morning, and somebody comes along and says, he wasn't there at all, he was someplace else. When Chazal described how fearful the Yom HaDin is, they say oloso busha oloso chlima. They describe it in terms of busha and chlima. The Chidor asks by Adis, it says that when you want to frighten the Adis, what do you tell them? So the Gemara goes through a whole thing about how you can suffer hunger and cherev and all sorts of terrible things. Ella Omar Avashi Omali Nasu Bar Marzutra Amrina Luhu. Sadi Shakri al Grayozili. When you're going to come back to collect your few dollars from the guy that sent you, he's going to spit at you and say a bunch of dirty liars. You, for a few dollars, you sold your neshama. That's if, and the Chida asks, I don't say, he says, after all of that, that's, so the person is not despoiled by the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Cherev or Rav, all these things. And the answer is, Busha is really the first barrier in a person's neshama against doing right or wrong. And that's the mid of Busha. The Yiro Pneichem is the pain that a person feels when he knows that he has been, that he's been downsized. I'd like to then ask, what is the kli that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to people for the nichbadas? In other words, how do we describe the sense of kavod nichbadas? What's the vehicle that a person, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave? Chazal say, Rabbi Yochanan used to call the mani mechabdusim. He used to call his clothing, he used to call that his kavod. Chazal learned v'kibadotoy on Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, the primary definition of kavod Shabbos is a person's levush. And let's understand it. I'd like to think through it a bit and get the sense of it. We make a mistake and we say that people were naked, Adam was naked, and then with the chet we needed clothing. That's not an accurate description. Rashi says, mitzvah achas hoyalehem v'nis'arta lo mimena. They had a mitzvah and they became stripped of the mitzvah. A person's levush, everything, every person has a levush that he's born with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol has levushim. Hashem molach geyus lovash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a levush called geyus. Pe'er is called a levush. There are many things that are called levush in Kaviyach v'Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person had a levush, and that levush was the mitzvah. It was nis'ar t'lo mimeno, and then he needed to have other levushim. Let's explain what levush means. A person has kelim to do things. He has hands, he has feet, he has kelim that he makes. But there's also a kli that's a caption on the person's own metzias. Define the person. Levushim are when I greet a person, I need to define myself clapping a person. Who am I? What am I? The levush is the chelik of the bria, that's the caption of that which is being presented. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in the middle of Malchus, the levush of Geus Kigoy Gor is the levush that presents HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Malkah Shel Olam. The levush of a person is the caption. Who am I? What am I? It's a caption to other people, and it's a caption to a person himself. A person himself sees himself the way he's levush. Let's take an example, just so that, we get a sense of it. You walk into... somebody is coming to ask you to invest in a very, very big concern. And he's coming and you're having a big meeting and you're meant to invest a very large amount of money. You're walking into a bank and you've got to do business with somebody and deposit money that's in the millions. And the person on the other side is dressed in a t-shirt, a pair of shorts and beach shoes. Wearing a three-piece suit is a guarantee for honesty? No. Plenty of people have cheated and defrauded, even wearing fancy begotten. Is it a guarantee that he's bright or not bright? Nothing. What is a t-shirt? Does a dress shirt make you smart? A t-shirt not? But what's coming across? The person is saying, I don't really take myself all that seriously. So I don't take him either seriously. When a person has a very clear sense of gravitas, that things are important, and I'm not mezalzel. The word kavod is from the word kaved, which means heavy, weighted, gravitas. And the word kal, nikla, is somebody that is lightweight. Yeah, like this, like that, so what? Doesn't make a difference. What do I care? Those are elements of... This is how I perceive myself, And this is how I'm projecting myself onto others. And that statement is the first nekuda of self. If I see myself as being chashuv, important, then I have to live up to it. And I know that people are expecting something of me. And if I don't have that, then people don't expect of me, and I couldn't care less. You know, if I'm dressed like a bum, so I don't anticipate more presence than a bum. So what? You're going to call me a thief? Big deal. You know, I mean, I don't have any persona to defend. So why am I going to be why am I going to be careful? A person walks into a doctor, wears something, a white thing. Do you really think the white thing is more sterile than a gray thing or a suit or something? We know today that it's not true. But you want to feel that there's a certain chashivus, that the person takes himself and his job seriously. Take a judge. Would you like, if a judge walks in just casually, you'd feel, this is a very important trial, and very important issues are being debated. Why do you look like it's a vacation afternoon someplace? Those are all things that we live with. It's the emes, the reality we live with. So if we ask ourselves, what keeps a person's integrity? The answer is his sense of nechbados and kavod. What is the definition? How does a person define his kavod and his self and his sense? Begadim are the person's definition. People, being in a yeshiva, there's the ongoing conversation about the yeshiva shalavush. Where does it say shohar have to wear hat? And which sheet does it have to be Bosolino? Which sheet does it have to be this and that? I want to tell people the simple emes, and the levush that is become the mesoras in the yeshivas was the mechubedik levush in Europe. A person who was mechubedik wore a jacket. In the Knesset, after tens of years, when people rolled in off the kibbutz, they introduced jackets to change the decorum. The Knesset sounded like a barn because everybody rolled in from the kibbutz. So they decided, people will wear jackets. It'll introduce a note of formality because the person feels I'm representing something and somebody and so on. The hat is unthinkable once upon a time for a mechubedik person not to wear a hat. And the hat and the jacket and the tie and the white shirt and all of those in yonim were in yonim that were what they meant to convey to a ben Torah was you are important. You're chashiv. Think of yourself that way, and make sure other people think of you that way. That's what the levush was. And in as a general rule, a person whose levush is mechubed, the halacha is it's a machlekes in Morba Basra, and something that I remember learning that as a boy the first time I couldn't understand it. It says if you have if somebody comes to you asking for food, when somebody comes to you asking for dress, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, which one do you have to check him out, and which one not? A guy comes and says, I'm starved, I haven't had a meal all day, please, please, please. So it's a machlokas, whether you have to check him out or not. If a person comes along and says, I'm walking around in a t-shirt, I need a menschel shirt. So one Yoma says that you don't have to check. It's so important and so desperate, you give him something normal to wear. It's something that for a person who has any sensitivity, it's the basis for his mitzias as a tzuras adam. I said before, I don't have, it's not something that I can come to a tzibur that I don't know, and it's not something I can say divrei musa. But there is a transition, and that we're painfully aware of. A person in yeshiva dresses the way yeshiva dresses, and it keeps them in a certain frame of mind. The word is pasnished, it's just not appropriate for yeshiva, but not appropriate. Person phases into the workforce, into the world outside. A person needs to adapt some of his malbushim to be part of that framework, and some of it are genuine needs, and each kefit. But there's also a hidden yetzahara of a precus ol. Like, it's true that I need to change X, but once I'm at it, I might as well get rid of A, B, C, and D also. I can get rid of everything and get away with it. The hidden agenda there is, if I look casual, I can act casual. Where's the issa d'oraisa to walk around in Crocs? I'd be very honest, there's not even a Rabbanim. It's and on Yom Kippur it might be a good thing to do. When a person walks in dress shoes, my wife's grandmother was a sister of Chaznish, was a great Mizrach Nivracha. I remember still for a few years after I was married, she was still alive, and then she was Nefteris. She was an aristocrat of a person. And one of the things was she never wore slippers or robe. If she was able to, she dressed and put on shoes. She's greeting a person. She's gonna greet somebody. And if she wasn't well, she would be in bed. She's not well, so she's sick. Or she can't get up. She's frail. She was in the 80s at the time. But what does it mean to greet a person in slippers and a robe? It didn't exist. And she would be sometimes it would take her tens of minutes to tithe. I mean, she was an old person, but that nechbados keeps a person. It's a thing that's hard to give, clear gedarim, because everyone is in a different field and everyone is doing something else and everyone's a different matzav. But the way that you dress defines you to other people. If I dress in a way that the message is I'm easy, so people pick up on that. Yeah, he's got a yarmulke, but after that, it's clear coast. Like, unless it's really treif, it's okay. Or a person says, I don't know, he's sort of rabbinical type. I don't think a rabbinical type does these things. And it's a message sent out. And it's a message sent to yourself. What are you expecting of yourself? If you're dressed like a lumberjack, so you're expecting one type of it. If you're dressed as a nichbot, forget about the yeshiva book, as a nichbot, I don't know, it's something not for me to do. And at home, it's the same thing. It doesn't make a difference. At home, you also send a message, and a more important message. What's my minimal standard? What do I look like when nobody's around? How much mention, how much nechbadus do I retain? That is really, really, it's the hidden, it's sort of the hidden psychological factor in what keeps a person in the lines that he would like to be in. So, if I guess echoing 39 years later, Chaim's Nekudas, Nechbadus is the aside of a person's Shmira. I want to finish off with two mamar, one that he said and one I was this Ara too. We think of it, so fine, Nechbadus will keep you face of your mazals until Sidayim, will wash until Sidayim. Reb Chaim pointed out, Yosef HaTzadik had the strongest Yetzirah a person can imagine. He was in the prime of his youth, he was astoundingly handsome. Potiphar's wife was astoundingly attractive. Nobody was there. It was pikuach nefesh to be with her because he knew that she could probably be very nasty and so on. And he needed to think some thoughts at the moment to break his Yetzirah. Did he think about how sizzling the fire of Gehenna would be and the older Hanoi would have now, he would have pain afterwards? He thought, that his machshava was, there's going to be diamonds on the Kohen Gadol's shoulders, on the Kohen Gadol's Ur V'Tumim. And everybody's name is going to be there, and my name is not going to be there. So, I mean, we can't even think, so how does that stop you from doing an Aveira? Everybody's going to ask, where's Yosef's name? Ah, he changed his name to Joe and he's at the bar down there. Catch him there. I mean, we can't even think, where would be the problem over here? But that was Yosef's Nekuda of Kedusha was, I mean, my place is on the Kohen Gadol's on Ur V'Tumim. Where am I going to? In other words, what kept him away was not a thought of how much it's going to be painful in a painful way, but I lost myself. I'm a nobody. And the second place that it's always my irony in Kinnis, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was the last Kohen Gadol, and he was Zocha, the Gemara of Reisach, Asrikel, Koshem, Tzvokos, the awesome Gemara brachas about him. He had a son and a daughter who were extraordinarily beautiful. The Kohen Gadol was the cover of Sepharis, and these were children of Aaron, the cover of Sepharis. They were sold as slaves in Rome. The Gemara, it's a Gemara in Gittin, and the Balakinis brings it out most poignantly. And they were sold. That's it. Finished. Their lives are Yidna's over. No more Yerushalayim, no more Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Rome that time was further from Yerushalayim than flying to the moon. It was nobody. It's like somebody would dump in the Philippines for the rest of your life. And he sold as an Eved, and the two masters got together, and they decided to be mezavik them, and they threw her in at night. And he's sitting, and he's there, a young boy, in Rome, completely cut off, and gone from any from Tzurmach Tzavta. And they throw in what he thought was a young, attractive shiksa, another slave girl. And he didn't touch her all night, and he said, how can a son of Aaron HaKohen, the beauty of Aaron HaKohen, live with a shifcha, bzuya, and shvela? The nekuda of having a sense of self-covet and self-value and who I am is the biggest shmir chet. And as this mitzvah Hashem is Rosh Hashanah, we're mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchus and the gayest lovish, as we talk about kvod shemayim and the whole the theme of Rosh Hashanah is kvod shemayim, kvod adam is a sniff, a corollary actually, of kvod shemayim. And if we the her kvod adam, and our own real kvod, not the kvod where they got shlisha v, but the kvod of who am I and where can I be. Maybe I'll finish with one story that just came to mind. There was somebody on the Lower East Side where I grew up who was a Chassidish Rebbe. And he came from Verich HaShviyichas. He had a brother. So he was a Rebbe, and didn't have much of a Chassidim, but, you know, a little thing. He had a brother who was a bigger Chevreman than him and didn't like this life of kind of being Rebbe, and so on and so forth. He lived in Israel. He became a government worker, which in those days was considered to be a very chashva position. He was some sort of clerk in some sort of government office, and he earned a living, and he lived in a nicer neighborhood. And he wore kind of chassidish, but very stylish chassidish, we would call it. And he would come to America every year to visit his brother, and he always kind of made little comments about how he has a position of importance, and his brother's kind of, Layutzlach kind of a rabbi, this and that. There was kind of an undercurrent of thought. And he would always speak about his job and how wonderful and chashev, and isn't that? One year he came, and my father asked him, hey, Lou, so-and-so, Shmolka, whatever the name was, what's doing? He says he quit his job. So my father asked him, why did you quit your job? Like a shock, because he lived for coming every other year and telling him about his job. He said, you know, I was working in the office, there were women in the office, and there was a woman dressed with a pair of pants, and she needed to light a cigarette. So she came over, and I said, sure, and you know. And then I said to myself, he was an Einikel of Divrei Chaim, Divrei Chaim's Einikel? And he said, I resigned the next morning. It's interesting. He said, where am I? Where is Reb Chaim Sanza's Einikel? Where is he? Every single person is an Einikel of Avram, of Yitzhak, Yaakov. Everyone is a Tzel Melekim. Every person is a Nichbod Admoid. If we will define it for ourselves in the way we dress, in the way we deport ourselves, in the way we interact, it will be the biggest shmir for us, and it'll be the most painless way to give yourself the nechbados, the chshivos, and the shmir of our veris that there is.